he's built a team around him as well that enables someone who is that charismatic and someone that you just want to go and have a beer with to also run a really well-oiled machine of a business. So that's knowing your game and executing it.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here's your host, Samantha McLean.
So welcome back to another episode of the Elevate podcast. I'm Samantha McLean and again joined this week by Adam Bryan and Bobby Reynolds. Welcome again, guys.
Good to be back.
So this is the second of a two-part podcast takeover while we were at ARIC, just to give everyone a bit of a break from me.
Not that anyone needed it, but
which I'm sure that everyone loved. And this week we've got Alex Mintorn from McGrath, and he was one of the most popular speakers at ARIC, right? What did you guys take away from him?
I actually said to him that he was my favourite speaker on the day, and yeah. I wasn't just saying that to butter him up. Like, I meant that. You know, I really connected with the way that he presented his talk. He was so real and down to earth, and as I mentioned in the last podcast, he's not really a systems guy, which I can relate to a bit. And to see how much success he can still have doing it his way is great.
He's built a team around him as well that enables someone who is that charismatic and someone that you just want to go and have a beer with to also run a really well-oiled machine of a business. So that's knowing your game and executing it well, I think.
Absolutely. And he's in a really competitive area too,
that
Upper North Shore area. He's got a very discerning level of client and the social aspects of getting along with people really, really, really important.
It has to be.
So apart from podcasting and doing our story, which we talked about last week, you guys were super busy at ARIC because you were also manning the cameras at some times because we were asking some of the delegates what they would say if they were on the ARIC stage.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool twist on this year. And if you were on the ARIC stage, what would you say? What would your message be to the industry? I mean, it's coming from the horse's mouth. It's coming from actual agents. Not every speaker that was at ARIC this year was an agent. Some of them are coaches and et cetera. But 100% of the people that we had on our little green screen was an agent.
Anything interesting that...
I thought an interesting theme came up. As important as innovation is, I think everyone from the conference and from what they're doing that's working for them in the business, they're acknowledging the fundamentals are still where it's at. Mm. They're acknowledging that having your day organized, making sure you're calling people, making sure you care about people, the fundamentals are still what's key. And people know that. People see that. People get reminded of it from things like ARIC, though.
I heard face-to-face, belly-to-belly. I've never heard belly-to-belly before, but I love it.
Like, that right old, from the Kiwis.
Right, chestnut, yeah.
That's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's interesting. I think the difference from me, and particularly around the expo, is in expos past, particularly the last couple of years at ARIC, we've seen a lot of technology, like shiny objects everywhere. But something I've been saying for a while is technology is both your greatest enabler but also your greatest distraction.
Yep, it's a compliment, not a takeover.
And I think that human message was actually a really nice one at ARIC. The reason that we did the green screen and the covers was because we do 6 covers a year, so it's really hard to get on the cover. And ARIC choose 15 agent speakers every year, so it's really hard to get to speak. But I think, you know, a lot of agents, particularly one stood out for me, Lisa Novak. She said, agents don't need to be taught to be million-dollar agents straight off. They just need to be taught to be $100 agents. Like, how do I get my first listing? How do I get my first sale? Then how do I move up from that? And then how do I move up from that? What do you guys think about that? Was there a good balance of million-dollar agent versus new agent?
For me, the majority of people that I filmed were younger or were newer to it.
Yeah.
And as Adam mentioned, it's good that they have a good grasp of what the fundamentals are and what they have to do. One thing that I was kind of talking to a lot of people about as well, which we talk about a lot, is content. Even if it's doing something like talking on video, which you're not that used to, these are the things that you've got to do in the future. If you want to create content and get on their Facebook and on their mind, you've got to have content. And that means doing things that you're uncomfortable with initially, including being on camera or being on video. So that's what we're trying to tell people. Even if they're all a bit nervous, it's good to start here. There's no pressure. No one's judging you. And if you're happy with it, then you can share it. It's good content for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a good concept, what Lisa was talking about that you just mentioned. You can't be a $1 million agent if you don't know how to be a $500,000 agent. Knowing how to layer on the progress, I think, is really important.
Now, you guys came back and then I saw you on Instagram again with a sold sign up in your area. So yep. Obviously you guys either don't sleep or you just work 24/7. Was there anything at ARIC that you just went, yep, I'm implementing that straight away when I get back home?
Probably not that we'll implement straight away, but easily my favourite thing that I cannot wait to implement is the concierge thing, which you'll hear about in this episode. So I won't say too much more about that, but that blew me away.
And you, Bobby?
I think something that I took away this year was that a lot of the things that the successful agents are doing, we're doing as well. And all it is that they've been doing it for a lot longer than us. So something that I took away was I just got to keep doing the same thing.
Mm. On the right path.
And we could get to that stage where we could be on the stage of ARIC. We'd both love to do that. All we got to do is keep doing what we're doing and we just need time. That's it.
Hashtag Adam and Bobby 2020.
2020, 2021. Yeah. We're coming.
I'm totally behind you on that one.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Alex for a second, because this was a really good chat. Again, I had a listen to this one and you talked a lot about teams. How important do you think team structure is now to the scaling of, let's just say, your business? Because I'm sure there was a reason that you were asking Alex these questions.
I think it's massive. Like we touched on before, you've got to really be honest with yourself in terms of where your strengths lie, because if you're just going to continually hire people who are the same as you, you're going to end up with the same holes in your business. So the team has to be quite well-rounded in filling in the gaps. I think the more and more you hear from really, really high-level agents in terms of how they structure their team, the more you'll realize there's no one structure that works, but there are some common themes, some commonalities.
And I think for me, one thing I took away from his team is how much fun they have. It seems like it's built a lot around fun.
Mm.
And that's massive. If you're going to a job where you're spending a long time away from your friends and your family, you'd like to have fun with the people that you're around, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Okay, so before we dive into Alex, which we're going to do in 2 seconds, just really keen to ask you what you've got coming up on Behind the Suits, because I know you probably won yourselves a whole lot of new fans, or at least I hope you have, apart from me. So what's next on Behind the Suits, in case any agents want to listen into that one?
At the time that we're recording this here, we just put out one on Days on Market. So a bit of an education piece for owners out there around Days on Market, also some help for some buyers. The theme will continue in terms of the common questions that pop up for buyers and sellers. That's what our topics are going to focus on.
And one thing that I just want to touch on as well, for any of the people that I spoke to at ARIC about starting a podcast, keep yourselves accountable, guys. Like you said, you can do it. We said that it's pretty easy to start a podcast. All you got to do is do it. And a lot of people said, yeah, I'll give that a try. So I've got their names and I know their businesses. I'm going to be searching them in 30 days. I'm going to call them up and keep them accountable. So if you're listening now, I hope you've got it ready.
Funny you should mention that. James Clear actually wrote something really interesting about creative people, how they just schedule it in and they do it. And the other big thing is give yourself permission to create junk, mm-hmm. because like weightlifting, you're not going to have your personal best every morning.
That's right.
But the fact that you show up, mm-hmm. even when you don't have a good day, means that you're leading to something better down the track.
Yeah, it's more casting votes in that path that you want to go.
Yeah, good old James Clear. He's going to live with us for a while. Hey, we've loved having you as part of the virtual team. Thank you so much for all you did for us at ARIC. It was brilliant. Let's roll the tape of Alex.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
We'll dive straight into it. Your ARIC presentation focused on 10 key ideas for a successful real estate career. Number 10 was to remember to have fun. And from your talk yesterday, we could tell that's a big part of everything you do in your business. You're down to earth, you're very relatable, which is easy for a lot of people in the crowd to connect with as well. So we thought there would be great value for our listeners of the show to hear the 9 other key ideas that you've got and how you incorporate fun into each of them.
So number 1 is assembling the right team. That was the first thing you wanted to share with everyone. How have you gone about creating your team?
So the team's evolved. So initially growing the team from 350,000 in 2013 in a year up to 1.65 was just bringing on my first assistant that basically freed up my time. So rather than getting busy and all of a sudden being flooded with paperwork and administration, the first role of the supporting person was to free me up just to be on the phone, to be prospecting always, listing always, selling. Everything was delegated. Everything that wasn't prospecting and on the phone was delegated to that assistant. And it just let me be out there, meeting people, pressing flesh on the phone.
So that was the goal of the team.
That was the goal of the team. That's since evolved. So, you know, getting to new levels, dealing with more volume and wanting to sustain and build on a better service for a client to make it more of a referable service. All of a sudden, I'm bringing in specialists in the team, like a buyer specialist, a BDM specialist, and a marketing specialist.
So how many in the team at the moment?
There's four, including myself.
Okay. Big team. And marketing specialist, yourself, an assistant, and a BDM specialist.
Yeah, so marketing and assistant, they're in the same hat.
Yep.
And there's a BDM who's responsible for finding prospects, finding opportunities, hotspotting around listings like door knocking, calling. And then there's a buyer specialist whose job is just to speak with buyers. Right. So if we're doing a two-stage process, stage one being an off-market before going to market, I can list it, give Jimmy the paperwork, and he's got seven buyers that he can think of off the top of his head that he can direct to the property.
Well, look, we loved how fun you made prospect in your office as well.
Yep.
By adding friendly competition and a social aspect, could you talk a little bit about how you do that and why?
I think you need to make prospecting easy to do it often. Right, and having fun with prospecting. Like, I've been a telemarketer all my life, previous to real estate as well as real estate.
Right.
And you can't do it for a long time unless you enjoy it. So within the team, we often bring other teams into the McGraw-Warunga office to prospect with us. It's competitive, it's fun.
Love it.
There's hooting, there's bells ringing, like it's making an event of the occasion. And that's once a week, so it's not too much. Every day there's an hour of power, but when we're doing it, it's competitive. It's like that boiler room atmosphere where there's high fives and it's just high energy.
Yeah. Is it always in the same office, or do you change offices? Like, whose offices are you going to
do? It's always in my office. Okay. And we'll have, because we've got a barbecue in our office after the prospecting session, we'll flame the barbie up.
And that's where the fun comes into that.
Correct.
As well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Make it a day.
Servicing buyers in the industry right now, especially in today's market, is very, very important.
Yep.
Now, you touched on it slightly before in terms of having your own person that deals with buyers specifically.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit how the buying process works for you and your team?
In two ways, whether it's off-market or on-market. I think in the market that we're in at the moment, a lot of what helps progress a deal is trust and a relationship with the buyer. And we've had a lot of success recently by going out of the way to get to know what a buyer wants, you know, rather than them bidding at an auction and we never speak to them again.
Yeah.
You know, meeting with that buyer after the auction and saying, what else can we show you? Here's our pipeline. Drive past a few, just going above and beyond. And when it comes to negotiating, if they're offering another property, what will often happen is they'll call us for an opinion on what we think about another agent's listing. And when it comes to offering on our property, you know, it's an easier process. You know, rather than create urgency, you know, there's no need for the urgency because there's an expectation that you've met what they want. You understand them enough that when the right property is shown, there's a, you know, there's an expectation that they'll be going ahead with it.
I think Adam and I are very similar in the sense that we don't like to butt heads with buyers. We want them to ask us, how do I buy this home?
Yeah, correct.
You know, I think that only comes with trust, right?
And I think that's probably, let's not judge a buyer. Buyers aren't sort of specialists. They're not experts in buying a property. So I think we underestimate that, how intimidating it is, how overwhelming the process is. So to actually help them and not be intimidating and not only show them your own stock. You know, there's a few different ways to build trust and make it easier for them. And the easier you make, like, it's funny, like, there's referrals of potential listings that we get. We get plenty of referrals from people that say, hey, my friend's now starting to look in Warunga. Can you start helping them? So it sort of works both ways.
Now, you also mentioned that you carry your hot list around with you.
Yep.
In your speech, you had a really cool story about that as well. For the people that couldn't make it to Harry, can you tell them that story?
Yeah, sure. So a friend of mine owns the pharmacy in Warunga. He's pregnant with his third child. So I walked in there grabbing some Armour Force for winter. And he said, Mintz, I got a third child on the way. We're going to grow out of our home. We need a bigger home. And he just took me aside in his shop and said, nothing on the market's exciting me at the moment. So I just asked him, what are you after? And he said, looking to spend three, preferably five beds. So I pulled out my pipeline of properties that were coming to market in the next 90 days. And that's a mixture of vendors that have given me authority to take people through, or appraisals that I've done that the vendors indicated that they'll come to market with me in the next 90 days. And he looked at the list. There were three properties on there that were in his price range at about the $3 million. And he picked out one address, drove past it that afternoon, inspected it the next morning, offered, bought it within 24 hours. And then within 2 weeks of that, we'd listed his home in North Taramara. So, you know, to be honest, I'd forgotten about the appraisal I'd done of that property. So it's making initiative easy for yourself. A lot of the theme at ARIC this year has all been about follow-up and not letting things slip out of your fingertips. It's almost plugging holes.
It's limiting the friction as well between that property and the process. But for you, the buyer, it's so simple.
Yeah, correct. Exactly.
You must have looked like a hero to the owners as well in terms of appraising the home. And then the next thing you do is bring a buyer around who buys it the next day.
It had been 3 months since I appraised the property.
You definitely didn't forget about them though, did you?
No, well.
That's crazy.
Between you and I.
Technically.
Yeah, that's right.
Point number five was world-class open homes.
Yep.
I suppose from setting it up to follow up, walk us through a world-class open home in your business, in your eyes, and what's the importance of getting your open homes right?
So I've got a team of four, but then on a Wednesday and a Saturday, I've got a fifth that joins our team who's like almost your concierge. So it's Matt Thompson. He's been a flight attendant. He's been in design. He's just a people's person. He's charismatic.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he's at the property half an hour before it starts. He's wishing the vendor well and they move them out. Then he's opening up the doors, turning on the lights, any adjustments to the presentation that need to happen before people see it.
Wow.
The music's on, the candles are burning. Whatever it is to create an ambience in that home before people start, we're laying out all the information on a tabletop that helps a buyer understand the property, helps a buyer do their due diligence. So building and pest, strata report if it's strata. There's an information document on the area. So 74% of my buyers are from out of the area, you know, not living in Wurunga. So, you know, if they're from the other side of Sydney, you know, we need to sell them on why Wurunga is a great place to bring up the family. So what schools is it in the catchment of? What private schools and how far are they from the door? What buses will get you where?
Well, yeah.
What trains where? What's in the community? All this sort of stuff that people overlook. And it's not all about the house. You know, if you can create a pretty exciting lifestyle around the property
the
as well.
Street, that the area, itself. Everything, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So overloading this buyer with information that's useful for them so that, you know, buyers go home. I've been that buyer. You go home and you've got 10 properties that you've inspected on the day. It's just difficult to get any clarity around why and which one. And that being said, when the buyer arrives, there's always a minimum of two of us at the home, maybe three, and we're just there to help. So we're asking a buyer if they want a tour around the home or if we should leave them be, and we might point out a few things to keep an eye out for. We're there, we're present. You're not looking at Instagram, you're there to help a client.
Yep.
You know, the power of that is that 60% of your traffic through your open home is a local that most often they've got a property to sell as well. And if you can overwhelm them with a great experience, i.e. how a buyer might experience when they're selling their home, then there's a good chance that they're going to call you in to possibly present to list their property.
At least have a chance.
At least have a chance.
Right?
And, you know, this job's all about just more and more and more chances. The more chances we've got, the better chance we've got to grow.
Agreed.
Sure.
Yeah.
So we're big on social media in our business. For us, we call it three buckets that we like to fill when we're talking about social media. The first is education, the second is entertainment, and the third is social proof. How is your social media run and how do you do it?
My social media is like there's consistency. Mm-hmm. So I've got three strategies around consistency. It's almost a little bit of spontaneity. So what in your week might be interesting for the marketplace to know, be funny, breathe some fresh air into real estate and to my business. But that being said, you've just got to be giving information. So giving a price, whether it's sold or it's just listed, giving a story behind who the vendor is, who the buyer is. Stories sell. Stories are engaging. That being said, the social media of my business is for two ways. It's selling properties. Every property that's listed goes through social media and is boosted, and there's a strategy behind that. But then the other part of that is building my brand. So leveraging social media to become, you know, trusted authority in the marketplace.
Yep.
And my Saturday market wrap, for example, every Saturday it's boosted to the marketplace and I'll get, you know, in 4 days between 3,000 to 5,000 views of that Saturday market wrap. And, you know, it's the consistency of someone expecting to see that and get a temperature of what the market's like out there.
Well, I also love the fact that, as you showed in your presentation, with your Saturday market wrap, it's just an amateur video. It's just a camera with you and the camera. It's raw, it's real.
Yep.
People appreciate that. Right?
Correct. Yeah, you know, have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, make mistakes.
Yeah.
I think, you know, making mistakes.
You're human. You're meant to make mistakes.
Totally. And that's sort of, you know, I've been down professional video. There's definitely a place for professional video, but I tend to trust amateur video when I see it on Facebook. I'm more engaged in watching something like that than I am something polished and dubbed and unrealistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, social media, it's so busy. So we're just trying to gain attention. It's just attention.
Yep.
And it's just eyeballs. And it's the repetitiousness of your brand being in your marketplace. But that being said, you know, I'm talking about my marketplace. It's sort of also indirectly marketplace. So there's agents across the McGrath network, agents across Sydney that I've received referrals from that see my Saturday market wrap. So it's almost,
trust.
You know, if you're thinking Wurunga, you're thinking maybe Alex.
Yep.
Or you're just trying to get a chance, one of three agents, to be introduced to someone thinking of selling.
a shot. Your content is very well worth everyone checking out. So your Instagram handle for everyone that's listening to this is?
Just Alex Mintorn.
That's easy. That should be
it. There it is.
Part of that as well, because the following point in your conversation was sort of based around leveraging sales results in your local area and how sometimes that's maybe a bit underutilized, but something that you should be really, really proud of. So how do you leverage your sales?
So success sells. You know, in the marketplace that we're in at the moment where days on market's blown out, there's a lot of frustrated owners out there that are on the market at the moment. They're wondering why their beautiful home hasn't sold. Mm. And so if you're out there singing the tune of another one sold, and it's all the truth,
yep.
You know, 120 inspections, 4 contracts sold in 28 days, to give the facts, you know, to be repeatedly going to the marketplace with success stories and a case study of how it happened and the strategy behind it and what actually happened behind the sold sticker. There's 3% of people trading in the marketplace at the moment. There's 12% of people that in the next 90 days that will be trading in the marketplace. So it's almost that, you know, the reticular activation system where if you start thinking of buying a car and you, that favourite car, you keep seeing it.
See it everywhere, right?
If you're in early days of looking to sell your house, you know, and all you're seeing is signboards, you're going to gravitate to the signboards with the sold stickers because something's actually happened. It's a data point. So, to one, target them, but to also target anyone that's not thinking of selling, to almost ensure that you're in the door before the process actually begins. You know, that's something I'm all over and have been for the last sort of 6 years, and it's letterbox drop, so at least 4,000 to 5,000 a week still. Cold calls, hot spotting, door knocking, all the basics. Nothing new, nothing rocket science. Right? Yeah, it works.
Consistency.
Absolutely. Consistency.
As well.
Yeah.
So I think it's undeniable that we are moving towards, you know, a more digital world.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more important in the real estate space for technology. What technology are you using in your company and how is it giving you an advantage?
Ghost voicemail. The cut through with ghost voicemail is just crazy.
Tell us your results. I remember you speaking about this.
So the first time I did ghost voicemail was about 6 months ago, and I'd had a successful auction in Wurunga and the market had literally just gone into a little bit of a freeze. So I recorded it's as simple as recording get your voice recorder out on your phone, record a message, which was, "Hi, it's Alex from McGrath Estate Agents. Haven't seen you in a while. We just had a great success at auction of 14 Winona Avenue, 6 contracts issued, 6 registered bidders and sold under the hammer for 5% above reserve. We might have met your buyer. If you're thinking of selling or in the next 12 months, call me. I might have met them." I sent that exact message to 4,000 contacts in my database. It's implanted on their voicemail. And within 18 hours, I had 1,100 callbacks.
Oh,
and in
it's a big day.
Big day. Yeah. It was drop everything and just take calls.
Made the KPI calls for that day.
Yeah. Oh, it was bright. We listed 7 properties in 7 days and it cost $157.
Wow.
Like, it was frightening. So the leverage, you know, that's an opportunity to go to every single corner of your database, which, you know, we'd all love to call our database every year and we should, but it's unrealistic, particularly if there's only one of you.
4,000 people is a lot as well.
It is, yeah. And even if it's 1,000, 1,000's a lot, 100's a lot, right? It's still going to get done.
Yeah.
But you could be guaranteed that someone's going to hear the voicemail and, you know, if your name and your brand is said in the first couple of seconds, at least there's a little bit of branding in there as well, even if they didn't call back.
Point number 9.
Yep.
Of your presentation, for me, it was probably one of the most important points across the whole day and across the whole conference so far as well. You're a product of who you spend your time with.
Yeah.
Right? So who do you hang out with? Who do you talk to and why?
Well, I've just spent 15 minutes with Stefan Bertram from our Ride office, McGrath Ride. 28 years old, sells 80 properties a year, right, sort of in excess of $2 million a year, and just a brainchild of real estate. You know, I've almost felt like a 15-minute coaching session out there with him, you know, helping me in my business and giving me some ideas. And so Stefan's someone that I'll talk with a couple of times a week. There's Will Ainsworth from our Geelong office who, a gun, you know, he's selling sort of 100 to 130 properties a year. And I'm not a systems person, so to discuss systems with an expert in that field is, you know, a learning experience, plus the energy that these guys have to be able to plug into it when you're having a bad day and be energised.
Yeah. Yep.
Peter Chauncey from our Crow's Nest office, McGrath Crow's Nest. He's just a gun and continues to turn up every year and better what he did last year, which is just crazy numbers in a super well-oiled business. It's You are who you hang around. These people, they change your mindset. They alter your benchmarks. They keep you on. It's competitive. It's fun. And, you know, it's exciting to hang around people that actually push you on the edge of your seat and challenge you. Okay. You know, that's what life's about.
Perfect. Well, in that case, we want to thank you so much for talking to us.
Cool.
You've done great. As I mentioned to you yesterday, personally, you're my favourite speaker of the day.
Oh, thank you.
Just saying that, I don't say that to everyone. You can check me out. I really appreciate
it. It's kind of like everyone. We still like
it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your time, mate.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.